July 2, 1926. The great difference between the sanctity of virtues and that of living in the unity of the light of the divine will. As I was in my usual state, my sweet Jesus showed divine justice in the act of unloading itself over the earth, commanding the elements to rage against creatures. I trembled in seeing that somewhere there were waters inundating towns almost to bury them. Somewhere the wind transported and eradicated plants, trees and houses with a mighty power, to the point of making a heap of them, leaving various regions in the most squalid misery. Somewhere else there were earthquakes crawling with considerable damage. But who can say all the evils that are about to swoop down on earth? In addition to this, my always lovable Jesus made himself seen in my interior as suffering in a harrowing way because of the many offenses that creatures were giving him, especially because of the many hypocrisies. It seemed that under the apparent good, they had poison, swords, spears and nails hidden, to wound him in every way. Then, as if Jesus wanted me together with him, to suffer, he told me, "My daughter, the scale of my justice is full and is overflowing upon creatures. As daughter of my will, do you want me to place you in the reflections of my justice, that you may share in its blows? Indeed, it is about to make a heap of the earth, and while satisfying justice, with your suffering you will spare your brothers. One who lives in the high kingdom of the Supreme Will must defend and help those who are down below." Now, while he was saying this, I felt as if divine justice was pouring its reflections over me, and as Jesus identified me with himself, I suffered his blows, his wounds and his pains together with him. They were so many that I myself did not know whether I would be left alive or dead. But to my highest sorrow, withdrawing, my Jesus mitigated my pains, and I remained, once again, crossing my heart in long exile. But, always fiat. I would rather have passed over all this, but obedience imposed itself, and to my greatest reluctance I had to make a little mention of it. Who can say how I was left? And my sweet Jesus, to cheer me, resumed his speaking about his most holy will, "My daughter, come with me in the midst of creation. Heaven and earth await you, they want the one who, animated by that same will that animates them and gives them life, would make the whole creation resound with that most sweet echo of the eternal love of their Maker. They want your voice which, flowing in each created thing, would animate their mute language with that perennial glory and adoration to their Creator. And since all things are bound to one another, and one is the strength of the other because one is the supreme will that vivifies them and preserves them, one who possesses it is bound to them with the same strength and with the same union. So, if you are not present in the midst of creation, because of your absence they would feel the universal strength and the bond of inseparability lacking to them. Therefore, come into our dominions, for everyone longs for you, and at the same time I will make you comprehend more things about the great distance that exists between the sanctity of one who possesses the unity of the light of the kingdom of my will and the sanctity of submission, of resignation and of virtues." Now, while he was saying this, I found myself outside of myself, and I tried to make my "I love you," my adoration, resound over all created things. And Jesus, all goodness, added, "My daughter, look at the heavens, the stars, the sun, the moon, the plants, the flowers, the sea. Look at everything. Each created thing has its distinct nature, its own color, its littleness and its height. Each of them has its distinct office, and one cannot do what the other does, nor produce the same effects. So, each created thing is a symbol of the sanctity of virtues, of submission and resignation to my will. According to the virtues they have practiced, souls have drawn a distinct color within themselves. Therefore it can be said that one is red flower, another, purple, another, white. One is plant, one is tree, another is star. And according to how they have submitted to the reflections of the Supreme Will, so have they developed in fecundity, in height, in beauty. But one is their shade, because my will, like solar ray, gave them the color of the seed which they themselves had placed in their souls. On the other hand, the sanctity of one who lives in the unity of the light of my will is a birth from that single act of her Creator, which is one in the creative hands, and yet, the rays of his will, coming out of God, invade everything and produce works and effects so innumerable that man cannot arrive at counting them all. So, since this sanctity is a birth from that single act, it will be the Supreme Will's care and jealousy for it to enclose all colors, all the different beauties and all possible imaginable goods within itself. And so, more than blazing sun, it will enclose and eclipse within itself all of creation with its different beauties. One will see all the goods of redemption enclosed in it, as well as all sanctities. And I, showing off my love more than ever, will place the seal of my very sanctity within one who has possessed the kingdom of my will. Do you know how it will be for your Creator with regard to the sanctity of living in my will? It will happen as to a king who has no offspring. This king never enjoys the affection of a child of his own, nor does he feel like lavishing all his paternal caresses and his affectionate kisses, because in no one does he see his own progeny, his own features, someone to whom to entrust the destiny of his kingdom. Poor one, he lives always with a nail in his heart. He lives always surrounded by servants, by people who do not resemble him, and if they remain around him, it is not out of pure love, but out of self-interest, to gain riches and glory, and maybe even to betray him. Now, suppose that a son comes to the light for him after a long time, what is not the feast of this king? How he kisses him, caresses him, he cannot remove his gaze from his son, in whom he recognizes his own image. Just newly born, he gives him his kingdom and all of his goods as inheritance. And his complete joy and feast is that his kingdom will no longer belong to some strangers, to his servants, but to his dear son. So it can be said that what belongs to the Father belongs to the Son, and what belongs to the Son belongs to the Father. Now, one who will possess the kingdom of my will be for us like a child born after about 6,000 years. What joy, what feast will not be ours in seeing our image in him, intact, beautiful, just as we delivered it from our paternal womb. All the caresses, the kisses, the gifts, will be for this child. More so since, having given in creation the kingdom of our will to man as his special inheritance, and since this kingdom of ours has been in the hands of strangers, of servants, of traders for so long a time, in seeing this son who will possess it as a son and will give us the glory of the kingdom of our will, our inheritance will be placed in safety on the part of this son. Is it not right that we give him everything, even our very selves, and that he enclose everything and everyone? While Jesus was saying this, I became concerned and I said to him, "How can all this be possible, my love?" And Jesus added, "My daughter, do not be surprised. By possessing the kingdom of the Supreme Will, the soul will possess a divine, infinite, eternal will, which encloses all goods. And one who possesses everything can give us everything. What will be our contentment, our happiness in his, in seeing the littleness of the creature in this kingdom of ours, taking from us continuously as the owner, as our true child? And since what he takes from us is divine, he takes the divine, and the divine he gives to us. He takes the infinite, and the infinite he gives to us. He takes immense things from us, and immense things he gives to us. He takes light from us, and light he brings to us. He will do nothing but take and give to us. We will place all our things at his disposal, so that, in the kingdom of our will, given to him by us, nothing extraneous to us may enter any more, but only our own things, and we may receive the fruits, the glory, the love, the honor of the kingdom of our will. Therefore, be attentive, and let your flight in our volition be continuous.